Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. Hello to you, the listener. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Gail Seiler, and I'm here with my co-host for today, Joy Beadleston, a new member of the Local Talk team. On Saturday, the Citizens for Community Improvement, also called CCI, held an all-day event called Revolution Iowa. It was a day devoted to discussing critical issues facing us today, for example, climate, immigration, healthcare, water, and the nature of politics in the U.S. The keynote speakers were former presidential candidate Senator Bernie Sanders and Alicia Garza, one of the founders of Black Lives Matter.
The event was held at the Event Center in Des Moines, and interestingly, at the same time in the same venue, there was another event called the Family Leadership Summit, which featured Kellyanne Conway and Senator Joni Ernst. Several of us from KHOI were there to bring you coverage. I was there along with Gail Seiler and Ursula Rudenberg. In addition, Ursula's sister, who was visiting from Minneapolis, was there to help out as well.
We'll begin with Revolution Iowa. Alicia Garza was the first keynote speaker. She made a call to action for grassroots organizing to transform the lives of many who feel threatened or marginalized.
I spent a lot of time thinking about what I was going to say today, and this moment comes on the heels of the four-year anniversary of the birth of Black Lives Matter. Four years since George Zimmerman murdered Trayvon Martin and got away with it. That ain't right. A powerful, powerful movement has emerged that is bigger than Black Lives Matter. We're an organization. We have 40 chapters across the world. But there are so many more organizations and groups of people who have emerged from that moment of tragedy to say, we've had enough, and we're going to build the world that we deserve, and nobody's going to get in our way. Yeah. Organizations like the Dream Defenders, which took over the Florida State Capitol for 31 days to demand an end to Stand Your Ground laws. Black Youth Project 100, which ousted a corrupt prosecutor who continued to target poor black and brown people and throw them in cages. We have made progress. And then in November, something tragic happened. We elected a kleptocrat. Y'all know what a kleptocrat is? A kleptocrat is someone who makes money off their position of power. A kleptocrat is someone who turns the halls of democracy into a business for profit at the expense of every single one of you in this room. That what happened in November was a surprise for some of us. But this is the moment when we should reflect and ask ourselves, how did this happen? Now, lots of us on our side of the table like to say, well, if so-and-so had won, this would be different, and I want to challenge that a little bit. Yes, we are in a dire moment in this country, but let's be clear. That movement, their movement, has been growing and building power for the last three decades or more. And so what happened in November wasn't a fluke, it was a culmination of effective and strategic movement building. We had a resurgence of white nationalism in this country. And I want to speak on this because I want to be really clear that those days have not passed. We saw that in November. They're not gone. Just because we elected a black man for president and he served without scandal for 8 years doesn't mean that somebody wouldn't come in and try to exploit the fear and the anxiety that we all have about our future. And that's exactly what he did, am I right? He exploited our anxieties about how we were going to pay our rent, how we were going to take care of our families, how we were going to address the aging crisis in this country, where more and more people are aging and there's less and less care that's available. He exploited everything terrible that remains in this country. And that kind of exploitation deserves a movement that can not only respond, but that can challenge it and that can transform it. We are now in a moment where income inequality is worse than it has ever been, where a smaller and smaller group of people are hoarding all of the things that we need, not just to survive, but to live well. And then, from my estimation, the way things are going with climate and the environment, we may be pushed to get it together faster than we thought we would. So for me, there's never been a better time to challenge the movement that is gaining steam across this country. There's never been a better time for us to figure out how do we build the power that we need to transform the conditions that we live in so that we can live in the world that we deserve, that our children deserve, that our grandchildren deserve, and that generations beyond us deserve.
That was Alicia Garza speaking at Revolution Iowa in Des Moines on Saturday. As we mentioned at the start of the show, the CCI convention was not the only event in the convention center in Des Moines on Saturday. The Des Moines-based conservative Christian group, Iowa Family Leadership, held their summer convention at the same time in the other side of the building with keynote speakers Kellyanne Conway and Senator Grassley and Ernst. Ursula Rudenberg went to that gathering and spoke with Drew Zahn, the Family Leadership Director of Communications, and a few of the people who came to the Family Leadership Summit.
The Family Leadership Summit, this is our sixth annual large summer gathering, and it is a gathering of, typically, it's Christian conservatives, but we really do welcome any who want to come and hear, and this particular year we have a focus, it's principle over politics. The last couple of years in particular have been so divisive in our country with a political rhetoric. And we're really challenging the church in particular, but really all of Americans, to think bigger.
Family Leadership, what's your mission?
Well, we are a Christian organization, and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ is central to what we do. But we believe that that impacts every single area of life.
What is being talked about at the conference?
We have one breakout session that does deal with the area of government, politics, and policy. We have another workshop that's dealing with the She's a Baby movement and the pro-life movement in Iowa, but not just the politics, also the efforts that are being undertaken to care for moms, to care for babies, to care for women who have had abortions and maybe now are dealing with the regret of it. We do have a couple other workshops on living out a Christian worldview. I'm going to be leading one of those workshops,
okay.
The She's a Baby one on the different pro-life efforts across the state. I'll be moderating a panel on that particular one. We have a gentleman from a church, his name is Mike Easton, and their church in Ames, actually Cornerstone Church, is really spearheading the way on finding adoptive and foster parents and have had tremendous amount of success in Ames. It's really gaining a little bit of national attention. And then we also have Laura Limix. She is the head of Restored by Grace, and that's a ministry that offers hope and healing to women who have had abortions.
And you have keynote speakers?
We had Kellyanne Conway, who is Donald Trump's campaign manager and is also now currently a counselor to the president. Then we also had Iowa's U.S. Senators Chuck Grassley and Joni Ernst.
If this conference goal is to have principle focused on instead of politics, why invite a representative of the President of the United States and our two senators? Because that is clearly very political.
That's a great question. And it goes back to the core belief that the principles that we stand on and the principles that the scriptures inform us on have to impact every area of our lives, home, church, and government. The question, therefore, is how do we take these principles to government in a way that's not political? Our organization is not partisan. It is a Christian ministry. But we haven't gotten a lot of cooperation from those who would wear the Democrat label. We live in a very politically divided country. I think both of our organizations, CCI and the Family Leader, were shocked to find out we were going to be in the same building at the same day. You know, I hope that we as an entire culture can learn to talk to one another, respect one another, and actually hash out these issues instead of just throwing firebombs.
I'm Matt. I'm from Cedar Falls. Came down here to just hear some good speakers and be encouraged. I think my favorite takeaway today so far was from a guy who's not known at all. He's the pastor's resource director for the Family Leader, and he spoke with Bob Vanderplaats about what they're doing up at the State House to impact legislators. Again, not primarily in a political way, but spiritually. I thought that was awesome. They're mobilizing pastors. I think he said 400 different pastor visits at the legislature this last session. The message is, if we view these problems or issues that we face in Iowa as primarily political, we're not going to get anywhere. If we view them as primarily spiritual at their fundamental core, then we can maybe get somewhere that's not rancorous and partisan, but that is in the best interest of Iowans. I think that the founding of this country was based on the notion that there's a creator who's given us inalienable rights, that we should pursue those for the benefit of all, and in part through a spiritual lens. I think it's a lie. I think that's deceiving, that public policy should be separate from spiritual conversations. It's a lie. We've made it come across so that any semblance of spiritual conversation or church in government shouldn't be allowed. With the assistance of uneducated people and maybe a pernicious media, completely false.
You better be careful. The Holy Spirit's going to zap you. You're not already a Christian.
The Holy Spirit's going to zap me?
Yeah. Are you a born-again Christian?
I am not a born-again Christian.
That's good right there that you recognize that. But seriously, I wasn't either until 1987. I was a sinner and saved by grace. You've probably heard that term. And so I was a womanizer. It was an interesting journey. God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit became my God.
And what about people that are of other religions, like Jews or Muslims?
I just know that the Bible, even as a Catholic, I was taught that the Bible was the inspired word of God. I always believed it was the truth. I just never read it. So then when I read it, and I asked God to help me understand what it was, and he took residence in me and changed me, I know it's real, because if it wasn't, I'd still be out chasing women. That's just what I did. And so... Yeah.
So what about people from other religions?
Well, I mean, that's between them and God. I mean, they have to, you know, Jesus said he's the only way.
And what did you get out of the keynote speakers today, Conway and Ernst and Grassley?
I know Joni personally, and I'm so encouraged by her and her willingness to share her faith, and just like Senator Grassley is. So that is an encouragement for me. I would like to see Joni eventually run for president. Personally, I think she'd be a great one. Or if Mike Pence does, he could bring her on the ticket. So as far as Kellyanne, you know, she's got a strong personality, and I don't think she lets people walk all over. And I would think women or feminists especially would think that that's admirable. But because she's a Christian conservative, they don't accept her. So.
And finally, you're wearing a Trump button, so obviously you're proud of the fact that you voted for Trump. On your other label, you have a cross with an American flag in it. Why are you proud that you voted for Trump?
I think Hillary is an evil person to her husband. She didn't make him be accountable, and she actually went after all the women that he had affairs with and made them the victim.
Okay. Why do you trust Trump?
I'd say I'd hope a more hopeful trust with him. I just think that for his own ego, it seems like he wants to do good.
But you okay with the whole situation with Russia?
Well, I think that's blown way out of proportion myself. I really do. I think it's a way that the liberal media is trying to bring him down along with the Democrats because they lost the election and they just still can't believe they lost the election. They're just so frustrated with that, and they just are acting like that. So I don't think the Russia thing is that big of an issue, personally, for me.
I'm from Indianola. I had been familiar with the family leadership, and I wanted to come and check out one of their summits and see more about their organization and what they believe in and what have you. I happen to be promoting children and family preservation, biological families that have been being torn up by the foster care system. So I'm here to see about the family leadership and how they support that sort of thing. So we go down and talk to legislators. We were down there last session lobbying for children and families' rights and reform of the DHS system, foster care, adoption. So we want to learn more about this process of political activism that they're teaching.
What is it about this organization that attracts you?
Well, their name, to start with, Family Leadership. So I wanted to find out exactly what their position was on it. I think they have some very similar goals. They believe in the family unit. They have a religious background that they get their core beliefs from.
And was it of interest to you that there was a representative from the president here?
Oh, that was very interesting to have her. I liked hearing about her background, how she grew up with a single mom, and she's a mom now with a bunch of kids. She doesn't seem like what you think of as a typical Washington person just out there for the next dollar.
I'm from Altoona. I have Grandparents' Rights Association of Iowa. We back families and grandparents losing their children to DHS, and we've asked the family leader to help us look into this and maybe write some new laws around it so grandparents can get their children instead of the Department of Human Services. I was a grandparent who lost my grandchildren to the Department of Human Services, and they separated them and adopted them out to two different homes, strange homes, when they had a perfectly good home with me. And I've been fighting this system now for several years over it. I don't want to see grandparents be hurt like this anymore, or the children. And so I want to see it stopped.
And you see this organization as being helpful in that?
Well, they're family leaders. So I think they need to back us grandparents up to keep our families. They have lobbyists.
And your impressions this morning, what your takeaway from the speakers?
Well, I really like Kellyanne. She had so much to say about all the terrible rhetoric that's going on, and I agree with her that it would be nice if the country would come together. I believe she's genuine. I like the fact that she got Trump into office, the first woman to do that. I thought that was amazing. I just think she's an amazing woman. Mm-hmm. Senator Grassley, I thought, done a really good job. I like the fact that he really fought for a year. Almost, it seemed like he stood alone in keeping the Supreme Court justice from getting elected until Trump got in. I like that idea. I like the courage that he showed, because it took a lot of courage for him, because like I said, it seemed like he was standing alone fighting that, because it was important to get a conservative judge in there, to me. That was what was important to me.
It's important for you to have politicians who can forward the conservative agenda.
That is important, yes it is.
And can you say why, what that vision is for you?
I'm a godly person, and I think if we let God lead our country, that we'll have a good country. I really see the Republicans as trying to extend love. Mm-hmm. And I was a Democrat my whole life.
Really? What made you change?
Because I think we need to support godly love.
You changed based on religious.
And plus I wanted Trump in there. Yeah, I think we needed a businessman, because he's a good businessman, and that's what the country needs right now. The country's in a big hole, and we needed a businessman.
I'm Bailey Benham, and I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina. And
You're Christian.
Yes, ma'am.
What's important to you?
Specifically being pro-life, pro-marriage between a man and woman, things like that, and standing up for the guidelines that God has set up for us in His Word and things like that, and standing firm on those beliefs. So, just learning how to be bold in the midst of the firestorm that a lot of people from the left throw at us, conservatives and things like that, and to really, you know, be bold in my faith.
I'm from Diagonal, Iowa, over on the west side. I have done this for several years. I love Family Leader because they're speaking the truth. What the Lord wants is the truth. We need to love God. We need to serve Him. We need to stand up for what is right. The main thing is that I want others to know God, and they just need to repent and ask Him to come into their heart. But right now, it's very difficult because people just don't want to listen. They don't want to be a part of it.
Are you a Republican?
I belong to God. And so, therefore, whatever He tells me to do, that's what I do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's strictly between me and God.
So, did you vote Republican?
I voted for the person that would stand up for what is right. There's no black and white, but I'm going to stand for the white.
You don't want to answer.
Yeah.
No, I respect that.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. I just want to do what the Lord wants me to do. And if the platform is according to God's will, that's the one I'm going to vote for, not the party.
A little nervous.
Thank you so much.
This is Local Talk on KHOI. I'm Gail Seiler, together with your co-host Joy Beadleston. We've been listening to excerpts from two events that were held in Des Moines on Saturday. You just heard a segment from the Family Leadership Summit that Ursula Rudenberg obtained. Back at the other event, Revolution Iowa, on the other side of the event center, the highlight of the day and what many people were waiting for was the final speaker, Senator Bernie Sanders. Senator Sanders began by warning that our democracy is being threatened by the increasing power of billionaires to buy elections. He referred to the Citizen United decision, the influence of super PACs, efforts to suppress voting, gerrymandering, and fake news about high levels of voter fraud. Sanders spoke about the need to increase, not decrease, voter participation, and he called for automatic voter registration when people turn 18 and public, not private, funding of campaigns. But he also reminded people that policies can be changed, and he cited historic examples of injustices that have been altered.
You know, the truth is that democracy is a very radical idea, and it's rather new to human history. And I don't have to tell anybody here that the fight for democracy in this country has been a very difficult one from day one. We have had many, many ups and downs in that struggle. When this country was first founded, needless to say, African Americans were not voting. They were held in chains. Women were not voting. They were second-class citizens. Poor whites who weren't landowners were not voting. But over the years, the essential struggle in this country was to create a democracy in which all people had the right to participate. Not so many years ago, during the war in Vietnam, people said, we're sending young people over to a war to fight and get killed, but they didn't even have the right to vote on whether that war was a good idea or not. And the voting age was lowered from 21 to 18. So throughout our history, what the struggle has been about is to create a true democracy where all of our people, regardless of their income, regardless of their gender, regardless of the color of their skin, all people could help determine the future of our nation. But right now, I have to tell you that in many respects, our democracy is facing enormous challenges.
Sanders went on to refer specifically to Trump and to talk about the disastrous health care bill that Republicans are trying to pass.
Now, I want to say a word to the people here in Iowa who voted for Donald Trump. When Donald Trump ran for president, he told the people of Iowa, he told the people of Vermont, told the people of this country that he was going to stand up for the working class of this country, that he was going to take on the establishment, that he was going to take on Wall Street, he was going to take on the pharmaceutical industry, he was going to provide health care for everybody. And I'm sorry to have to tell you this. I'm sorry to have to tell you what I know an increasing number of Americans understand, and that is Donald Trump lied. He said he was going to take on the establishment, but he has brought more billionaires into his administration than any president in the history of this country. He said that he was very concerned about what Wall Street was doing to America, and yet he has brought in the president of Goldman Sachs to be his chief economic advisor. And I want to tell you something that I am working on night and day right now, and I'm very, very worried about. Trump told the people of Iowa that he was going to stand with the working class of this state and the working class of America, but he is currently supporting the most anti-working class legislation ever presented in the modern history of this country, a disastrous health care bill which will come before the Senate, I believe, on Tuesday or Wednesday. Now, President Trump, don't tell the people of this country that you support the working class when you are defending legislation which will throw 22 million Americans off of the health care they currently have. That is not defending the working class. That is a major attack on middle class and working class families all across this country. Don't tell working families that you are concerned about their needs when you want to cut Medicaid by $800 billion over a 10-year period. And I want you all, and I want the president to understand what the consequences of that action are. Medicaid is the major source of funding for those families who have disabled kids. You have people right now in America who have cancer, who have heart disease, who have diabetes, who have life-threatening illnesses, and who today are scared to death as to what might happen if they lose their health insurance. And you think about it. And I want the president to think about it. And I want Iowa senators to think about it. What happens? What happens if today you are dealing with cancer, you're dealing with heart disease, and Medicaid is your source of insurance, and that insurance is taken away from you? And I will tell you what will happen. This is not Bernie Sanders speaking. This is study after study after study, which tells us what all of us instinctually know. That if you are struggling for your life with a life-threatening disease and they take away your health insurance, thousands of Americans will die every single year. In America, we should not be giving tax breaks to billionaires and insurance companies and drug companies and taking away health insurance from people who have cancer, heart disease, and diabetes. That is not what this country is supposed to be about. And let me tell you the politics of what's going on right now. There are 52 Republicans, 48 of us in the Democratic caucus. Right now, we need one more Republican vote. And I say to Senator Grassley and Senator Ernst, please, please take a hard look at what this disastrous legislation will do to the people of Iowa and the people of America. And I say to them, I beg of them, please vote no on this legislation. You can know how bad this legislation is by the process that it has gone through. This legislation deals with 1/6 of the American economy, over $3 trillion. And by definition, it impacts every single person in this country because we all at one time or another need health care. You might think that a piece of legislation of such significance would have numerous hearings and discussions. What do doctors feel as to how this legislation would impact their ability to serve their patients? How do nurses feel about this legislation? How do hospital administrators feel about this legislation? How do advocates for senior citizens or people with disabilities feel about this legislation? This legislation is so bad that the Republicans have refused to hold one public hearing and all of their deliberations are behind closed doors. That's how bad this legislation is. And I say to Senators Grassley and Ernst, if you don't believe me, then why don't you listen to virtually every major healthcare organization in this country, all of whom oppose this legislation. So how can Republicans go forward with legislation opposed by virtually every major healthcare organization, overwhelmingly opposed by the people of every state in this country? And the answer comes back to a crisis which is even deeper than the healthcare crisis. And that is the role that big money plays in American politics today. Brothers and sisters, our job is not only to defeat this disastrous proposal, and we got a lot of work to do in the next few days, but our job is to join the rest of the industrialized world and guarantee health care to all people as a right, not a privilege. And what we have got to ask ourselves and what we have got to demand that Congress address is a very simple fact. How is it that the country I live next to, I live 50 miles away from the Canadian border, how come Canada can provide health care to every man, woman, and child in a much more cost-effective way than our dysfunctional system? How come the United Kingdom and Germany and France and Scandinavia and Ireland and every major country on earth can understand that in the year 2017, health care is a right of all people? Our immediate task with regard to healthcare is to defeat this horrific legislation. But as soon as we accomplish that, I will be introducing legislation which is gaining more and more support all over this country for a Medicare for All single payer program.
That was Senator Bernie Sanders speaking on Saturday at Revolution Iowa, which took place in Des Moines. In addition to calling for Medicare for All, as you just heard, Senator Sanders also called for free public education in state colleges and universities. He covered some other issues briefly near the end of his speech. These included minimum wage, gender pay equity, and reforming the criminal justice system and the immigration system.
Senator Sanders seemed to be sounding an alarm that we are facing issues that tear at the very fiber and history of who we are as a nation. In his words, The stakes are enormous. You could hear in his voice that he was angry, yet he expressed hope and faith that as a nation we would, in his words, put people before progress and communities before profit.
We are here in a nation which is facing enormous problems. We are here in a nation in which a lot of our fellow citizens are demoralized and are giving up on the political process. We are living in a nation in which the greed of the billionaire class has no end. They want it all. And what is our job? Our job as people who love this country. And my dad came to this country from Poland without a nickel in his pocket and became the proudest American you ever saw because he saw what this country could do for his family. And that's the story of millions and millions of our people. We are in a momentous moment. There are those in Washington, Mr. Trump and his friends, who want to divide us up based on our religion, who want to divide us up based on the country that we came from, based on the color of our skin, based on our sexual orientation. Because they understand that very few Americans believe in their policies. Very few Americans in Iowa, Vermont, or anywhere in this country think that it makes sense that you give tax breaks to billionaires and throw children off of health insurance, or that you cut Social Security, or that you reject science in thinking that climate change is a hoax. So what a desperate party, a party that has no ideas except serving the interests of corporate America and billionaires. Their only play, the only thing they can do is try to divide us up. And our job is not to fall for that bait. Our job is to stand together, black and white and Latino, gay and straight, Asian American, Native Americans, and say that in this country we are going to create a government that works for all of us, not the billionaire class. That we are not going to suppress the vote, that we're going to revitalize American democracy and create a system which has the highest voter turnout of any country on earth. Brothers and sisters, the stakes in this struggle are enormous. They are not just about your lives or my lives. They are about the lives of our children and our grandchildren. They are about whether or not we are going to have a planet that is healthy and habitable, whether we're going to have a system which is a vibrant democracy, whether we're going to have an economy that works for all or just a few. That is what is at stake. And I know some of us get tired, and I know that sometimes we turn on the television and we become depressed. But all I can tell you is remember American history. Remember the difficult days. Remember 150 years ago, workers in this country were working in factories 70, 80 hours a day and had no power. They stood up and they created the trade union movement. Remember that in our lifetimes, our African American brothers and sisters were denied the right to vote, and their kids went to segregated schools. Remember 100 years ago in this country, women were not running for governor or president. They didn't even have the right to vote, but they stood up and they fought back. Remember that 20 years ago, our gay brothers and sisters did not have basic rights. And today we have gay marriage being legal in every state in this country. The times are difficult, and the people that we are taking on have unbelievable power. They have unlimited amounts of money, and I mean unlimited amounts of money. But I believe today, as I have always believed, when working people, ordinary people, stand up and they don't allow ourselves to be divided, when we do that and when we have a vision of an America that works for all of us, nothing will stop us in achieving our goals. Thank you all very much.
We just heard Senator Bernie Sanders speaking at Revolution Iowa in Des Moines on Saturday, an event that was organized by Citizens for Community Improvement. We hope to bring you more voices from this event later in the week on Local Talk, so tune in for that. You're listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. Now it's time for our monthly segment from the Ames Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development. Usually, Lauren Franson is with us, but today we are joined by Brenda Dreyer, the Director of Workforce Solutions with the Chamber of Commerce. Thanks for being here, Brenda. It's great to meet you.
Good morning, ladies.
Is this the first time you've been on Local Talk?
It is the first time I've been on the show here.
Well, welcome. Since it's the first time, can you just tell us a little bit about you? Are you from Ames? How long have you been with the Chamber?
Well, I was lucky enough to join the Chamber of Commerce in April, so I've just wrapped up my first 90 days on the job, and indeed it's been a very busy 90 days. Our family, in addition to taking a new job, moved to Ames in June.
Oh, so you came first.
Yes, okay. I did.
All right, so welcome. And you are now directing workforce development for the Chamber of Commerce. And what does that entail? What does that really mean?
So the unemployment situation in Story County and Ames is very interesting. I don't know that a lot of people realize that Story County historically has the lowest unemployment not only in Iowa, but in the whole country. So in 2016, Story County actually had the lowest unemployment in the country. And our unemployment rate, there's a little delay in reporting, but our unemployment rate for May was at 1.9%. In April, it was 1.7%. And usually, like I said, it is the lowest in the state of Iowa. A little county up in northwest Iowa, Lyon County, actually dropped to 1.5%. in May, but it is very interesting for our Main Street businesses, our commercial businesses, our industries, in an environment anytime you really drop below 2.5%. So while we don't have all of the answers on how to go out and try to recruit a workforce, it's important for us, not only for our chamber members, but for the citizens of Story County, that we assist in trying to attract and retain a workforce. So a lot of the initiatives that fall under our Workforce Solutions efforts at the chamber really are geared to do that.
So, yeah, you hear about that, the fact that there are more jobs than there are for there are people to fill them in Ames. So you're saying that really is true, in not just in Ames, but in Story County as
Absolutely,
a whole?
Absolutely, yeah. So if you look around the county, there are large industrial employers, for example, in Nevada, in Story City, in addition to the large employers here. So it is not just an Ames challenge, it's a Story County challenge.
And you have had some events going on for interns this summer. Can you tell us that you've been involved with?
Yes. So one of the strategies is a longer attempt at trying to recruit and maintain a workforce. So we're working on some K-12 programs, and I'll come back sometime and visit about those as we get a little closer to school starting. But the events we've been working on this summer, it's a program called See Yourself in Ames. I think up until really looking at employment in Ames, I thought, hey, Story County and Ames probably have no trouble at all recruiting a workforce because we have a captive 36,000 students that love Ames. Well, it is interesting when you think about sometimes our students come to Iowa State. They don't really get much beyond campus town. And by the time they wrap up 4 years, they're ready to spread their wings and go. So I sometimes think we have even a bigger challenge than other larger areas of the state or this particular Midwest region. So See Yourself in Ames is really a event geared towards interns that are here in Ames and Story County for the summer. We work with businesses and industries, small and large, that have interns, and they are invited to attend one of 5 events where we try to force networking amongst themselves and with the business community. We try to provide them some sort of a speaker education that they might find beneficial. We're working with the Convention and Visitors Bureau to drop them an email every week that talks about the things that are going on. So specifically, while it's great that there's things going on in Campus Town, it's even better when we talk about things like Farmers Market, Firefly Nights, arts festivals, all the recreational opportunities going on at the Conservation Center. So it's really a continual touch to them. And like I said, the goal is that they'll have a chance to mingle amongst themselves in the hope to kind of plant a seed that, yeah, while you're interning here, it would be even greater if you would stick around and take one of our thousands of jobs that are open.
So do you have jobs specifically that you focus on for disabled persons?
You know, part of my job and what I've been doing over the first 90 days is to get an understanding of all of the different agencies that are out there trying to place a workforce. So, you know, I've met with YSS, I've met with Optime, I've met with Voc Rehab, I've heard about the Project Iowa. This is actually interesting, subject is very near and dear to me because the reason that we moved to Ames is I have a disabled child that needs access to a more diverse employment situation than maybe we could have had in rural Iowa. So it is a topic near and dear to me. I feel like we have some untapped potential there for employers that are willing to think outside the box in terms of maybe traditional, you know, 8-to-5 work schedules. So there is, again, some efforts underway with that.
And those are quality jobs that you're looking at?
Yes, the goal more than just a minimum wage, potentially service job. But again, I would say that our job, too, is that we have those positions that are important to fill, too. We need to be making sure that we have a dynamic employment situation, which is the whole spectrum of jobs. But again, I would tell you that's a topic that hits pretty close to home. And, you know, part of my efforts in the 90 days, selfishly, are to know what's available for our son Matthew, but also to understand that there are a lot of folks like Matthew that want to work, and we need to identify how we can assist in making those connections.
Yeah, I think there's a misconception that people with disabilities that are able to work want, you know, they do want good jobs, and they want to you know, make a good income
that is
allowed within their circumstances.
That is absolutely correct. That, again, that's another topic for another whole radio show.
Okay.
Probably. But no, so thanks for bringing that up, because that is very much an important part of what we need to be considering.
And how closely do you work with the university? For example, when you spoke about the interns that you're inviting to things this summer, does that include people who are interning at the university in labs?
Absolutely.
Or whatever?
So it's been fun, again, because we've had interns that are out at the USDA facility. We've had interns that maybe don't look like a traditional intern, actually working at Ames Lab for the Department of Energy. They've been joining us, so a very high-level education intern working on doctorate degrees. And again, we've got folks that have working in the athletic department at Iowa State that are working in the College of Engineering. We've had folks that are working in Ames Park and Rec. It's folks that are working for Story County and interning. So it has been a dynamic initiative this summer. We've ranged anywhere from probably 120 to 175 participating. And so we have one more event left. It is coming up at the end of the month on July 26th. And we're going to be holding it in Ryman Gardens. And it is open to anybody interning here in Story County. They register at the chamber website, ameschamber.com. Again, no cost to attend. We do need people to register because we do provide dinner as a result of that, of them attending. But we're very excited. The last speaker is a speaker I heard about a year ago, Zach Mannheimer, who did an extensive search of the Midwest. He was decided to move from the East Coast, wanted a little bit better quality of life, a little more focused time for his family, but yet wanted access to all of the things potentially he had available to him on the East Coast. And he actually, after looking, I think, at 22 cities, settled on Des Moines in central Iowa and founded the Des Moines Social Club. And he has a great story to tell about, regardless of where you are, it's really on you to get engaged in your community, get engaged in organizations, get engaged with initiatives of your workplace. And so I'm very excited that he'll be our last speaker for our last event. And of course, we'll be putting the heavy sell that this is a pretty great place to be, and there's lots going on, and we'd love to have you come and consider one of our employment opportunities.
And we understand that you have been redesigning the workinames.com job board. Can you tell us about that?
So I'm really glad the heavy lifting on that redesign was actually done before I came. I'm much more into marketing versus coding and worrying about different aspects of the website, but I was lucky enough to join the chamber the first week of April, and by about the third week, we relaunched the redesign. And so the Work in Ames was always more or less part of the Ames Chamber website, but we have now created a standalone site. And the site is designed, and it is unique in the way that people that are seeking employment can create a profile. They can upload their resume. They can identify keywords and types of positions they're interested in. And then our employers, once we've approved them, you know, again, it's really geared to be an Ames and Story County website. So while I can appreciate the efforts to the community to the south, this is an Ames and Story County site. So we want to make sure that only employers that are posting opportunities within our county are listed. So once they're approved, which we do within a 24-hour period, they're able to go in and post jobs and create a profile about their company. And the system is designed so when they post a position, so if somebody's looking for a maintenance technician in manufacturing, anybody that is indicated in their profile that they're interested in maintenance or production, that employer automatically receives an email that says we have a candidate that potentially matches that, as well as that job seeker receives notice that a job has been posted. So it's really important that we continue to work on having job seekers go in and take the time to create that profile, as well as our wonderful businesses in Story County to take the time to actually create that profile on themselves and then start posting jobs. So one of the things that we did when we did the redesign was we know we have thousands of jobs, and it's going to take us a while to get everybody signed up to post their jobs in another spot in addition to workforce development with the state of Iowa and whatever job board they may be using. So we actually sweep Indeed jobs within a radius of Ames and Story County, so that we really do try to keep it geared towards Story County, but we do have a few spillovers. But so that shows the magnitude of jobs, at least those employers that use Indeed, which is a lot of employers. So we have anywhere from 1,300 to 1,500 job openings at any point in time that are just being swept from Indeed. So if you're an employer in Story County, my job has become to say, okay, take the time, even though we're pulling your job off of Indeed, take the time to create a profile so that you can maximize that match. So I have not checked the numbers this morning, but last week we had about 115 people that had created profiles. And so I'm going out and trying to remind our businesses, don't you want to latch on to one of those 115 people in a very tight labor market area? So in addition to the matching and the profiles, we have an electronic version of the relocation guide that we use at the chamber. So somebody that's wanting to know banks, somebody that wants to know what we have available for styling salons, those sorts of things are housed in the relocation guide. We've created an intern guide for businesses that have never used interns before. That's housed there. And then we have a really great series of professionally made videos that the Model Farm and the Iowa State Daily assisted us with. So from a testimonial standpoint and an arts and education and a cultural, and we're working on the education video right now, but those rotate through the site as well. Okay. So for somebody that's looking for a job, they can also get a taste of our quality of life.
Okay, well, thanks for explaining that. And we'll put links to your website, and then people can access the jobs website as well.
Thank you.
When we post this audio on our website. So thank you very much. We've been speaking with Brenda Dreyer, the Director of Workforce Solutions with the Ames and, I guess, Story County Chamber of Commerce. Thanks very much for coming in today.
You bet.
This is KHOI Community Radio, and you've been listening to Local Talk. I've been your host, Gail Seiler, along with co-host Joy Beadleston. Local Talk is broadcast on KHOI at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You can also listen to today's Local Talk show and all of our past shows online at our website, khoifm.org. Local Talk was engineered by Cynthia McClure. Thanks, Cynthia. Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley.
KHOI is a community radio station that is driven by volunteers and made possible by donations from individuals, businesses, and organizations in the community. So please support KHOI. It is easy to donate or become a member. Just go to the website, khoifm.org, and look for the donate button. If you would like to join the team, contact us at 515-292-2878 or through our website, khoifm.org.
If you enjoyed the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as audience and supporter is what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening, and see you again on the radio.
KHOI is funded in part by the Ames Chamber of Commerce. Find job opportunities throughout Ames and Story County at workinames.com. Again, that's workinames.com.